a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, and you heard it from the voice guy himself right there. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can get in touch with the show by calling or texting, as the voice guy said, at 713-780-3776 to call or text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, also on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also do it on the brand new ESPN Houston app, which is available for your iPhone or for your Android phone. We're doing the show once again from the Gallant Says Podcast Studios in my two-bedroom condo in Tanglewood, he said in quotation marks, because it's basically like right on the border of it. But I'm just going to claim it to make myself sound a little bit cooler. I've got the cat hanging out in the studio. We'll see how long that lasts. Generally, as I talk, the longer and longer I speak, the louder and louder I become. She generally finds this to be unappealing for naps, and then we'll leave. So if you're watching along on YouTube and Twitch, you can see her. She has a kind of pissed off look on her face. I'm going to try not to be distracted by my cat. It is a slow time in the sports calendar. The All-Star game was last night. I had it on in the two TV setup. I have a small 32-inch TV and a 48 to 54-inch TV. I don't know how much it is. I bought it back in 2016. Still works somehow. I think the TV's older than the cat, to be perfectly honest. But in that setup, I have on the top TV the All-Star game. And it didn't look like it was going so well. It was lasting a while, too. But it actually ended up being a good game to the point where I put it on the main screen for the last couple of innings. And ultimately, the National League up 6-0, saw a fierce American League rally. The American League scored 6 runs. I saw Stephen Kwan knock in the tying run as part of a great at-bat against Edwin Diaz in the top of the ninth. He gets on an infield single. It's 6-6. I mean, it had theatrics. It had stakes. And even more interesting, they decided, hey, let's test challenging whether or not a ball is a strike in the midst of a baseball game, a major league baseball game. And that actually was interesting at the very least. Randy Arozarena had 2 strikes on him. Ball was thrown slightly outside, but it caught a little bit of the plate. And upon review, it was found to be a strike. So that was it. So me, someone who didn't pay attention to any potential changes to baseball's All-Star game, discussed this offseason, I thought to myself, yeah, some extra innings. I mean, this game has lasted a while. We're getting closer to 4 hours at this point. I'd like it to get done sooner rather than later so I can go to bed and try to sleep off the remainder of this strep throat and whatever the hell else I'm dealing with. And then I get a push notification on my phone. And the push notification says, history made. Baseball set for first swing-off to determine All-Star game victor. It's like, swing-off? What the hell are we talking about here? We're talking about upside-down pineapples? What's going on here? Swingers? Huh? No. We were talking about a 3-versus-3 home run derby where each player gets 3 swings. It featured Brent Rooker, Randy Arozarena, who I know because his name sounds Italian, Jonathan Aranda, Kyle Stowers, Kyle Schwarber, and Pete Alonzo. Huh. I mean, that's just a lot of big names, isn't it? I'm told we're dealing with an echo. We'll get it figured out. But you've got all that going on. And that's how you're going to decide a game that had actually been good up to that point? I mean, could have been, at the very end, Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. against Shohei Ohtani, Pete Alonso, and Kyle Schwarber. At least they got the National League right. But instead, what you get was what I listed out. And I'll be honest, I haven't heard of half of those names. Nope. I don't know who half of those guys are. Truly. Couldn't tell you off the top of my head. So that's what decided it. Ultimately, it was Kyle Schwarber who was getting things done. And the National League ends up winning in a game that I felt actually was pretty good, but ultimately, not feeling so hot today. Ultimately, it's decided by a 3-3 swing off. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So now, I'm wondering what happens next. I mean, it's very clear that the players don't seem to care that much. Right? You had 17 opt-outs. And even worse, this is a report from an ESPN reporter. And again, I think ESPN just doesn't give a damn that they're covering baseball anymore. For people wondering, many people have left, including a lot of the starters, left as in on a plane home. Wow. So a lot of the guys, and we're talking about Aaron Judge, and we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, they weren't even there for the end of this game. Am I surprised? Not really. But ultimately, it's just a bummer of a way to end a game that actually was pretty good. So, All-Star Week, it's over. And, I mean, what were the highlights? What were the cool moments that we'll remember for the rest of our lives? There was the kid who robbed a home run off of Junior Camarino in a home run derby. That was pretty funny. There was that moment where they played Welcome to Atlanta as an intro for the National League. Ludacris was out there. That was pretty cool. There was a tribute to Hank Aaron where they used, I think, a flare and projection mapping and pyrotechnics to recreate his 715th record-breaking home run to pass Babe Ruth from April 8th of 1974 at the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. I mean, that's pretty cool. People cheered. It was a sellout. But yeah, All-Star Week's in the books. And I think I'm at the moment where I feel like we all realize we don't really need it anymore, and perhaps we don't even need the All-Star break. Just keep the regular season going, huh? Do they need a break? Oh, it's an 162-game season. No, just play the whole thing through. Can we stop being given these fake games, especially when it's clear the players don't actually give a crap about them? Because they don't. I mean, if they're leaving halfway through this thing to fly home, I get that it's a four-hour game and all of that, but you were selected as an All-Star, and you did show up. What's the point of showing up if you're not going to stay there the whole time? You just want to get your at-bat in for the All-Star game, and then you're out? Wild. And I get it, family, et cetera, et cetera. The life of a ball player is a difficult one, Paul. Fine, but I just find that along with the entirety of last night being wrapped up with a swing off. Lame. Will it be better next year? I don't know. They'll probably add some other change that we don't hear about until the actual game plays out and we find ourselves heading into extra innings. But if you're worried about the length of game, which did take a while, I mean, you have something to continue to play baseball called the Ghost Runner that you use in the regular season. And each team, the American League, the National League, has what? Like 40 guys? So you couldn't keep playing? Were you out of bodies already? I'm sure there were some guys who didn't get to play there. I know Josh Hader didn't, thank goodness. I think a lot of people were happy that there were no Astros in the game. So there you go, everybody. Baseball's All-Star Week is in the books. And a bit of a bummer. Especially considering they actually had a good game on their hands, and it ended like that. Some of the people are texting in. Okay, so the echo is gone. I don't know if that was AJ back in Mission Control or if it was me here. I'm leaning towards it was me here because I shut down a switch on my board. So it might have been my fault. Everybody, sorry about that to open up the show. We got lots of texts. I guess I sounded like Lou Gehrig. Today, I consider myself one of the luckiest men on the face of the earth. I sound like a stadium announcer. Mushrooms. Paul Gehrig in the house. Yeah, I don't know why I was echoing everybody. Some other comments about the All-Star game last night from the 409. I was excited they were actually wearing their own uniforms. Yeah, they should have done that. This year's All-Star uniforms that they wore for the Home Run Derby, I didn't think were that bad. To play off of the Braves and what they've been doing back in the day. But yeah, it was cool to see them all wearing their uniforms at the very least. From the 409, just name them All-Stars. Leave it as is. Mark the midway. Give them the break for 5 days. That's where I'm at. Because it was a good game once it became a good game. Obviously, the American League had to rally. But it was so anticlimactic. You rally from down 6-0, and now we're going to a 3-on-3 home run derby, where the National League clearly has the better bats. But that was kind of lame. You couldn't have gone back to some of the players who maybe would have been very helpful in that situation, like a Shohei Ohtani or an Aaron Judge. Would they have been usable, or did they have to use guys that were still in the lineup at that moment in the game? Obviously, the big issue was that Aaron Judge left and that Shohei Ohtani left, so they couldn't go to that. From the 337, some of us like the new rules to break a tie, Boomer. Maybe listen to the game on a transistor radio and check the box scores the next day. Listen, I'm trying to give baseball a chance. I'd rather gouge my eyes out half the time than watch baseball games. Let's be honest, okay? Like, when the Astros are playing the A's and it's 9 o'clock on a weekday, F that. I driving in traffic sounds better, okay? If you are one of the people that like the new rules to break a tie, just realize this isn't a game anymore. This is an exhibition. Paul, that's what the All-Star game is supposed to be. It's lame. It's lame. Getting called okay boomer for this take, fine. I mean, you know, maybe baseball needs all the boomers to get out, but I'm just surprised that anyone would want that. Some of the people want me to bring the echo back. Paul, are you inside a submarine? What the bleep? You sounded like God speaking to Moses.
Moses, I am who am. Yes, I am a burning bush. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to jump in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN975. Coming up next, the Houston Texans added someone this offseason that marks a first for the D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud era. You'll hear what I'm talking about next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Maybe the most interesting move that the Houston Texans made this offseason was when they acquired C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a Super Bowl champion safety with the Philadelphia Eagles, who had 6 picks last year. And all they had to give up to get him was offensive lineman Kenyon Green plus a draft pick swap. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think, for D'Amico Ryans, for Nick Caserio, and for C.J. Stroud, is the first crazy Houston Texan of this regime. I say crazy with quotation marks around it. This is a guy who pushes buttons. And you could easily tell me right now, Paul, well, hang on. What about Aziz Al-Shaair, who is a habitual line stepper? You've even called him that. There's no denying that. I mean, he got away with punching a guy against the Bears Sunday Night Football. And then you had the Trevor Lawrence incident. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, over his time in the league, has been known as a bit of a line stepper himself. In 2020, he was fined $5,000 for his involvement in a scuffle with Bears wide receiver Javon Wims, who punched Gardner-Johnson in the helmet after Gardner-Johnson reportedly ripped off Wims' mouthpiece and may have spit on him. In a separate incident during the playoffs against the Bears, Gardner-Johnson and receiver Anthony Miller received unsportsmanlike conduct penalties after getting into a scuffle. Miller was ejected for this. Last year with the Eagles, he was fined $45,000 for 3 different infractions in a game against the Saints, including an illegal hit on Alvin Kamara and 2 instances of taunting. And he was ejected from a game against the Washington Commanders in December of last year after receiving 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties for verbally taunting players. He was fined $45,000 and raised both middle fingers to the crowd as he exited the field. So he definitely marches to the beat of a different drum, if we're putting it politely. He was on The Pivot, the podcast with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor, and was asked about his reputation and if it maybe is one of the reasons that he's no longer in Philadelphia by Ryan Clark.
It's because of the perception of you being a wild card or crazy or uncontrollable, whatever it is. But your play says Pro Bowl caliber, all pro caliber play. Why aren't you, after winning a championship, 2 times in Philadelphia, bro, 6 picks each of those years, why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there.
They're scared of a competitor. You can't program a dog. I like this guy already. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. They're scared of a competitor. That's why they got rid of him. That's a bit of a reach in my book, but I like the mentality. And Gardner-Johnson went into greater detail. He brought up that game against the Washington Commanders because I think he's of the mindset that Philadelphia had gotten tired of his act, but he feels that his act was a big part of the Eagles getting to where they finally got and knocking off the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this past season.
Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out, why am I getting kicked? They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you tell them the period is live, you telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football? Or you want me to be a leader and outspoken, but then you want me to sit back and just, I'm cool with taking the back seat.
I think it's very interesting the way that he framed it at the end. Now, as far as the first part, that incident we were talking about in Washington where he ends up flipping people off as he's ejected from the game. The Eagles were winning this game, by the way. They lost after Gardner Johnson was ejected. He said he was ejected for nothing, and Reed Blankenship, per him, Gardner Johnson didn't say anything to the players after the second penalty. Important to note that Reed Blankenship had C.J. Gardner-Johnson in his wedding, so I think Reed Blankenship is probably going to stand up for C.J. Gardner-Johnson against any accusations, no matter what. I think they got a pretty deep friendship there. So, take that with a grain of salt. But that last part's interesting. He was too intense during practices leading up to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's exactly what I want to hear. Should be exactly what you want to hear, too. You want to have somebody that comes in here that's going to push boundaries. Because take a look at the Texans locker room right now. You've moved Laremy Tunsil out. Tunsil, not a very intense person, I felt like, as far as a drive to win. I think Laremy Tunsil was focused with what Laremy Tunsil does best, which is do my job and get paid. And hey, you know what? No fault toward it. It's Laremy Tunsil. I don't blame him for having that mentality. But you want to win, you need some people that are going to call themselves dogs, that are actually going to push other people into uncomfortable situations. And who in this locker room does that right now? Maybe C.J. Stroud going into year three. After that, who? Derek Stingley is quiet. Kamari Laster is going into his second year. Will Anderson's young, and he's so positive. It's hard to imagine him doing anything like that. Danielle Hunter is not a man of few words, but is a man that doesn't seem like he is going to get in your face about what you're not doing on a play. And based off of all the accounts that Will Anderson gives us, it sounds like, if anything, Danielle Hunter helps calm Will Anderson down. Outside of Azeez Al-Shaair, it's not really coming from anyone. So now you got an Azeez Al-Shaair in the locker room, along with a C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the locker room. And I'm wondering if this team gets a little bit tougher, if this team gets a little bit scrappier. Because I think you could argue that was missing from them last year. They certainly had the talent. The defense was violent, swarmed to the football, created a lot of problems for some of the best quarterbacks in the game. Forced takeaways. It's a lot of things to keep an eye on and say, wow, awesome. But they didn't have a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the locker room. Now they do, and I'm very curious as to how he's going to fit. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. That's how you jump aboard. Coming up next, who's been soft in the world of sports? Soft Boys is next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Soft Boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Udoka called out LeBron James in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game. Called him a little bitch. LeBron didn't like the language. Ime said, soft ass boy. Every single Wednesday at 12:30, we do Soft Boys. Who has been soft in the world of sports? I think my immune system's being soft right now. It's driving me crazy. I really thought today would be the day where I feel better. We'll see. We'll see if I make it through all 3 hours today. I think I will.
the thing that sucks about this is just the burning pain that I feel about 8 minutes into a segment. No matter how much water I drink, salt water I gargle, drugs I take, hot tea I drink, applesauce, all liquids. Like, I haven't eaten a solid food since Friday. I had salt and vinegar Pringles on my way back from Galveston. So, my immune system definitely soft right now. Who's been soft in the world of sports? You can nominate whoever you think's been soft. I'm going to start off with North Carolina football. So there's an article that came out last week, and it shows that numerous emails from North Carolina donors, alumni, and faculty obtained through a public records request do not support the greatest coach in the history of the world, Bill Belichick. And I just got to say about North Carolina, and no offense, I will speak as a cake eater elitist douche for a moment. North Carolina is a safety school for people who wanted to go to Duke. If you are living outside of the state of North Carolina, it has a great reputation outside of North Carolina. I'm sure in-state it's wonderful. But North Carolina has a very high opinion of itself, considering they're known for their basketball team. And I would specifically speak to their football program as being one of the most underachieving programs in the history of the sport, given some of the players who have passed through there, like Lawrence Taylor, Julius Peppers, and of course, TJ Yates. But that's neither here nor there. Here are some of the things that are being written in emails about Bill Belichick, who was a godsend to that failure of an athletic program. What a total embarrassment to UNC. I am withdrawing all my donations and future donations. In another email from a UNC faculty member, a disgruntled employee complained about there not being enough money to hire the number of professors we need, but paying a 73-year-old guy with no college football experience $10 million is okay, and then letting him hire his son. Yeah, Steve Belichick did a pretty good job as a defensive coordinator with Washington, for those who are paying attention, but that's just me. I would just tell the faculty members, you know how the bread is buttered, and I would say most people who are professors at universities are probably overpaid, given what it costs to get a education at a school these days. Honestly, I think Bill Belichick's giving a lot more back to the state of North Carolina than any of them. But that's just me. More criticism of Bill Belichick in anonymous emails. When you agreed to pay a king's ransom to hire Bill Belichick, did you know you were hiring Jordan Hudson to serve as the primary face of UNC athletics? She has a pretty face! Strong, powerful, independent woman. Normally, I would say the university should not concern itself with the employee's personal lives, but when a prominent employee injects his significant other into the university's affairs, it becomes the university's concern. She's already an embarrassment. Well, I can't really argue with that. And it's only going to get worse. Please end this circus before the season begins. All publicity is good publicity, noob. Another wrote, Jordan Hudson has no business getting involved with Belichick's work-related business at Chapel Hill unless she's on your payroll. It's bad enough the nepotism you've allowed by hiring Belichick's son. You have basketball players taking African-American studies, which was a BS course, so that they could be eligible to play. Can we stop? Can we stop getting mad about the wrong things? What about the children and the education? Another UNC grad wrote to the AD of North Carolina, Belichick is a disgrace to our university. Please do something. I think that every single person that's criticized Bill Belichick before he's even coached in an actual game should go to jail. I think they should be arrested. I know that there are rules that protect free speech in our country, but I think we should definitely stop that when you have heretics who dare to question the greatest coach in the history of the world. Maybe the greatest general in the history of the world, too. You know, like, would we have won the Revolutionary War earlier if Belichick was in charge instead of George Washington? I'm just asking the question. Anyway, what else is going on in soft boys? Who's been soft in the world of sports? I think that this high school that suspended Teddy Bridgewater from his high school coaching position is pretty damn soft. Teddy Bridgewater was the head coach at Miami Northwestern High School. He won a state championship there in 2024 before he re-signed with the Lions to end the season. He's been suspended after admitting in social media posts he paid for Uber rides, meals, and recovery services for players. He asked fans of the team to help cover the expenses in 2025. So he was paying $700 a week for player Ubers, $2,200 for pregame meals, and $1,300 for athletic recovery services. I mean, this is pretty messed up. Kids that are going to Miami Northwestern, for those who don't know Florida very well, most of these kids are economically disadvantaged, and we are getting to a point where there will be haves and have-nots at high school sports and at lower levels. We're probably already there, especially with the rise of AAU and all these other club leagues that you see out there. So we're already heading into a place where this might not be something that everyone gets to do if you don't have the means, which is BS in my opinion. I think everyone should be able to play sports, and that economic circumstances shouldn't get in the way of you being able to do that, especially as a kid growing up. Hell, it might be your ticket out. So this is messed up that Miami Northwestern is suspending him for this. I suppose rules are rules, but I mean, you're giving these kids Ubers? We're getting mad about that? They might not have a dad or mom who could pick him up after work. I think this is very soft of Miami Northwestern, and pretty embarrassing, the great state of Florida, which I played football in growing up in high school. Like, this is messed up. Feel for these kids. Teddy Bridgewater clearly cared, you know? Soft Boys continues. Who's been soft in the world of sports? If you've got a nominee, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 832, Soft Boy goes to Paul for crying about being sick. Man up and do your job. What am I doing right now? I'm just talking about myself because I would rather talk about myself than baseball, you know? From the 936... Aaron Boone, Dave Roberts, and Bobby Manfred just because I don't like them. That's Eric the Driver. Love it. Now, some people are saying you should drink a 12-pack. What else do we have here? From the 281. How about cheers instead of jeers for Teddy? Yes, I agree with that. 409 texter says drink a 12-pack. Alcohol kills it. Maybe it does. We'll see. Not soft. This guy, the oldest marathon runner in the world, who died at 114 years old. Fauja Singh, an Indian-born runner nicknamed the Turban's Torpedo. That's an awesome nickname. Died after being hit by a car. Oh, that's awful. Local media in India reported he sustained severe head injuries in a hit-and-run accident Monday while he was crossing the road in his native village near Jalandhar in Punjab. He was taken to the hospital where he was confirmed to have died. He is someone who lives in London. I think he actually helped light the torch for the Olympics when they were in London. He took up running at the age of 89 as a way to deal with depression. After his wife and son died in quick succession in India, the death of his son in 1994 was pretty messed up. A piece of corrugated metal blown by the wind decapitated his son right in front of him. So this guy turned to running like he's basically Forrest Gump and just ran and ran and ran. Running a marathon at age 114 is absolutely insane. And I don't know if he was still doing 26 or whatever the hell it is, 23 miles, but good God. 114 to be running at all? Insane. I will not have my faculties at 114. I can tell you that. I will be rotted away, dead. So that guy, not soft. And that wraps up Soft Boys. Soft Boys, who's been soft in the world of sports? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put. We'll be right back.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Live from the Gallant Says podcast studios, because still dealing with strep throat. This is probably the longest I've dealt with it. The tonsils are less swollen, but generally about 6 to 7 minutes into each segment, it's like I am eating nails. It does not feel good, but we're trying. Hopefully tomorrow things will be better. I really thought today would be better. Alas, earwax. That's me drinking. It's like hot honey water. Goodness gracious. You want to chime in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. From the 281, what do we have here? Make and take a flu bomb. FYI, it's an alcohol drink. Flu bomb alcohol drink. Let's see what this is. A flu bomb alcohol drink. Hey, AI, don't be a virgin.
When discussing a flu bomb drink with alcohol, it's important to differentiate between traditional home remedies and potential effects of alcohol consumption while sick.
Hey, shut up, okay? Shut your mouth. Flu bomb. Non-alcoholic. Oh, okay. This is the non-booze one. Maybe I actually should try this. Includes ginger, turmeric, garlic, black pepper, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and honey diluted in warm water. Huh. Okay. No, I meant the boozy one, though. So I'm guessing it's a ginger whiskey drink. Piece of ginger, a garlic clove, fresh lemon juice, cayenne pepper, honey, and whiskey. Okay, that's the boozy version of it. I'm not sure I should do that, given the drugs I'm taking right now. I actually haven't had a drink for over a week, which has been rather frustrating, especially given this past weekend. You know, you're dealing with a fever, and I'm like, oh, screw it. At least let's get a little lubed up as we try to get through this. I think that was really what ticked me off yesterday when I was talking about a certain other show, was this like implication that I had been out drinking too much over the weekend. I was like, I wish that would have been great, you know? So there you go. From the 747, Key from LA asks, Paul, can you out push up all of the other show hosts? Well, I do push ups every single morning, so I would hope so. If I can't, damn. I have one of those like perfect push-up things. But no one cares about that.
Paul, why are you talking about the All-Star game? Why are you talking about it? The thing with the bats at the end, there wasn't a home run derby. It was a swing-off. Did you like it? Did you think it was a bastardization of America's pastime? Paul!
I didn't like it. That's all. I just didn't like it. Game took a while, but it actually was a good game, and I think it's anticlimactic to cap off a team rallying from six runs down with a let's do a home run derby with people no one's ever heard of to determine who actually wins this game now that it's tied and in extra innings. Had it featured Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani? Sure. But I don't know who any of those guys were off the top of my head. I know who Randy Arozarena is because he's on the Seattle Mariners. But the guys that the American League used, who the hell is Brent Rooker? I don't know. Jonathan Aranda. I don't know. Kyle Stowers? Slowers? I don't know who that is. Kyle Schwarber, I know. Pete Alonso, I know. We didn't even get to see Pete Alonso. So it was kind of lame. In my book, there are actually some interesting things going on in the world of sports. SEC media days are happening. Did anyone see this moment yesterday when Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian was introduced
This is Steve Sarkisian.
Alrighty, welcome. It's always...
Jeez. That's the Aggie war hymn. What are we doing here? What are we doing? This is a pretty easy one to figure out. And we get this. It almost feels purposeful. No? I mean, A&M's been in for a couple of years. Texas was in for 1 year. I feel like a prank was pulled here. I feel like some Yell leader went to wherever all of this was being, I guess, broadcast from, whether it was a room of some sort or a tent of some sort. And when they went in that room, I'm convinced they hijacked this. I'm convinced of it. There's no other way. Like, this is definitely something an Aggie would do. Don't act like you're above it, Aggies. You would 100% do it. That's TU, guys. We made him come out to the Aggie war him. So I think an investigation needs to be done. But hey, the Aggies didn't win the game, but they got the upper hand on Steve Sarkisian before he met with the media for SEC Media Day. You know? Yeah, 75 Court Jester says some Aggie paid a lot of money to make that happen. Well, what if it was someone else? Dr. Dre on 290 considers maybe it couldn't be someone from Vanderbilt. Well, maybe that's the perfect person to do it. A Vanderbilt person. K. Crow comments on YouTube, that fight song mishap never would have happened in the Southwestern Conference or in the Big 12. Maybe, maybe not. I'm assuming that an Aggie did something here. Had to have happened. I don't know how you screw up Texas and Texas A&M's fight songs. Texas's fight song, I think, is pretty awesome. But I know not everyone feels that way. I think it's peppy. I think Tennessee's got a pretty good fight song, too, when you hear the band playing it. So as far as Texas at SEC Media Day, Steve Sarkisian says he loves Arch Manning for his maturity and his poise. He carries himself like he's 30. He went viral, Arch Manning did, for looking a lot like a frat boy. I think this is put up by an SEC writer. Arch has nailed, Zach Barnett writes, the Kappa Sig president begging university leadership not to kick his frat off campus look. Huh. Yeah, I see it. He's got the pastel shirt. He's got the jacket on. He's also got the khaki pants. Everything's a little ruffled. I see it. I definitely do. So, Arch Manning, mature, poised, dresses like a frat boy. Everyone agrees Anthony Hill Jr. is the best player in the SEC. For Texas. And Michael Toffe, and apologies for pronouncing his name incorrectly, he's a safety for Texas, wore a tie embroidered by Anderson Park in Austin with the initials of the campers, counselors, and camp director who passed away at Camp Mystic in the recent floods in Kirk County. Actually, very cool. What else happened at SEC Media Days? Ooh, how about this? Tennessee. Just talked about him a moment ago. Tennessee acknowledged that Nico, I'm Oliva. I love that. How that's his last name. He transferred. His name is I'm Oliva. Stress the importance of having the right guys that we want to be there. At the end of the day, it's never about who's not in your building. It's about who's in your building. Wow, that's cool, man. Very cool. Nico thought very highly of himself, only to go to UCLA and not get that much money out of it. We also had this. Hugh Freeze, head coach of Auburn, has Auburn fans in a tizzy because he played 12 rounds of golf this summer and also ended up with the 78th ranked recruiting class in all of college football. Woof. That's not good. So he got asked about it. I like playing golf. I'm not going to stop playing golf. Well, maybe golf less if you have the 78th ranked recruiting class, or sign up as a different name, pay with a different name, use a fake ID. I don't know, just a thought. We've also got Auburn now playing with Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma now. SEC Media Day highlights continue. Kirby Smart laughed when he was asked about Nick Saban potentially returning to coaching. I don't know if Nick Saban would want to. I think Nick Saban's doing great as an ESPN broadcaster. I think he's very talented. And not everyone is, you know, like Bill Belichick does it and he's fun, but it's for maybe like 2 to 3 words that he could potentially drop on a dime. Saban is, I think, fantastic on television. More SEC Media Day highlights. Greg Sankey said Monday the SEC is going to continue evaluating an 8-game conference schedule. The Big Ten has 9. Just get a 9, softies. Just go to 9. Everyone plays like left-handed booger-picking State and the nubbed Sisters of the Poor, like the first 2 or 3 games of the year. And it makes September a little bit boring at the college football scene after opening week. Up, here's a scrub team. Up, here's another scrub team. It's like our preseason, Paul. Give us some slack. Brian Kelly, head coach of LSU, said LSU is the real Death Valley, not Clemson. By the way, LSU is playing Clemson week 1, and Brian Kelly at LSU is 0-3 in season openers. We also saw this from Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's extra chirpy. Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, who I guess is still feeling himself after the win over Alabama. They were 7-6 last year. Going 7-6 last year wasn't good enough. I came back because I want to win a national championship. All right, cool, man. You're at Vanderbilt. Like you're not doing that. Hardo. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. We believe we have what it takes to play into January. Well, some bowl games are played in January that aren't part of the college football playoffs, so maybe you'll have a chance. But, I mean, both of you guys, like, dial it back. No one cares. You're Vanderbilt. Know your place. You're the nerd school. Every now and then you get a nice win. Does it happen that often? Let's not get chesty all of a sudden. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Live in the Gallant Says Podcast Studios. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. On the brand new ESPN Houston app as well. Stick around.